You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. This is where they share their latest creations, products, services, experiences, as well as business strategies and insights that can help you build your business, leading to your business success. In the world of education, there has been a great debate on if Common Core standards is the right solution for our children and if there is something called too much testing. Several states are choosing to either abandon or amend the Common Core, stating that financial woes are plaguing the rollout. In fact, in a recent article by the Wall Street Journal, it states that 45 states have adopted the educational standards, but many are having second thoughts. Mark Bistricki is a leader at Tesseract that has stood out in Arizona as a model school. Here today to tell us more about this philosophy on Common Core and what school districts can do to ensure kids succeed is the head of Tesseract, Mark Bistricki. Welcome back to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate the chance to talk to you again.
Certainly good to have you back. So tell us about the philosophy of Tesseract and why does your school stand out as a top school in the nation?
Well, we're a school that is really focused on looking at the research about how students learn best and marrying that with innovation and the idea that we're preparing our students for a future that is difficult for us to predict. And so we're a school that wants to equip them with the skills and the abilities they're going to need to succeed in the future, which aren't always necessarily the same ones that we're seeing being emphasized in the public schools around us. So we're a school that believes that we need to start with the students and their needs rather than trying to force them into a mold, and that by drawing connections with our students' intrinsic interests, learning styles, and personal history, the result will be more engaged students that are enthusiastic about the learning process. We also think that creating the kind of environment where students feel safe to make mistakes academically, that's an essential part of them developing resilience and developing the ability to pick themselves back up and dust themselves off and keep going. Because we all know that setbacks are a reality in life, and so we want them to feel safe. And in fact, we even encourage kids to make mistakes so that they can learn from the process as well. I think also authentic education depends on connecting the classroom with real life around us. And so we're a school that really emphasizes the application of learning to real world challenges.
As a leader in the school district, what are some skills educators need to have to ensure students are successful?
Well, I think in many ways we want our educators to have the same kinds of skills that we're looking to cultivate in students. Certainly we want them to have an intrinsic love of learning. And I use that word carefully because I think one of the problems with American education today is we look at education trying to cultivate an extrinsic approach to learning, that it's about what you can produce on a test. It's about what you can demonstrate. And certainly there's a place for that. But we want to go deeper and try to cultivate in our students a natural love of learning so that they can see learning as something that excites them and approach it as a process of discovery and try to kindle some natural interest in it. One of the many issues with the high-stakes testing culture in our country is that I think that it can really squash that love of learning that we're really trying to cultivate in our students. Because when we pile on the homework and when we introduce high-stakes tests and schools are forced to really tailor the education they deliver to results on these tests, the byproduct of that is kids that have too much homework, that have too much pressure, that are getting, in some cases, cheated out of critical parts of their childhood. And at the end of the day, learning is something that causes them anxiety and stress and pressure. And they associate all those things with learning itself, which is a real tragedy, I think. And so back to your original questions, we want our educators to be models of people who are passionate about learning. We want them to be innovative, forward-looking, entrepreneurial, all the things that our students are going to need to be successful when they go on to high school, college, and the world beyond that. I would also add creative and artistic, because I think that's something that is getting lost for our students as well. Because of the revolution that we've seen in our economy, whereby jobs that can be done by computers or robots or done more cheaply overseas are going away for good, all those kind of mechanical rote learning types of jobs, the jobs that will be left and the skills that will be required are those that will need innovation, will need creativity, will need workers who can synthesize information from different subject areas and make something new and creative with it. And so we want our educators to model all of those kinds of qualities that we're helping our students to develop.
Why do you believe that there is a sudden debate now on Common Core standards?
Well, I think one factor is certainly the political divide in our country. I think it's difficult in this environment for there to be any nationalized set of standards because there isn't a unified consensus in our country politically. So certainly that's a factor. But I think that it is also a widespread recognition that our traditional models of education just aren't working. It's important to remember that American education has its roots in the factory system of the 19th century, the assembly line process. And if you think about the way traditional schools work, where students go to one classroom for 50 minutes and they finish that, then they go to the next classroom and have another teacher, I mean, it is sort of an assembly line process. And I think that there's a widespread recognition as well that the system hasn't responded adequately to the revolution we're in the midst of, that I just talked about, where jobs are going away, that when students can't apply creative thought and innovation. Our world is more closely connected than it's ever been, and our students who are entering the workforce need to be able to collaborate with various cultures in order to be forward thinking. There's another aspect of it that our students are going to have two or three different careers over the course of their working life. And so they need a skill set and abilities that will allow them to be flexible and adaptable throughout their career. We also need for students to be able to think critically, create new things, collaborate, solve problems that we can't possibly exist or can't possibly imagine. And I think there's a recognition that the Common Core standards aren't really preparing them to take on those tasks.
Do you agree with the repeal of Common Core standards in Arizona, and if so, why?
Well, again, I think the Common Core has become highly politicized and it's an easy target, but the larger problem lies with education's long history of standardization. And we need high standards, absolutely, but if they're the wrong standards, we can't very well expect different results. I think that the way that schools measure progress towards standards is highly problematic, and in many cases is more the problem than the standards themselves. The high-stakes testing culture that we have in our country really forces schools to narrow their focus on what can be measured rather than what students are learning and what they're applying from what they've learned. Because this testing culture focuses so much on filling out multiple choice tests, which really limit the way that they assess a student's intelligence or talents or abilities, curriculums are also being narrowed, and in my view, students are really being shortchanged when they're put on an assembly line approach to education that leaves them at a competitive disadvantage. One of the things that I think is very interesting is in American education, we've looked at some of the Asian countries, namely China, and their education system, And we've kind of put them up on a pedestal because their kids are testing so far above average on math and science in particular. I think it's very interesting that Chinese schools are actually looking back towards American schools and recognizing that American schools actually do a better job than they do of helping to kids to think outside the box and be more innovative. Now, I think we have a long way to go in that process, but I do think it's interesting that the model that oftentimes we point to is actually pointing back towards American education and wanting their students to be more adept at thinking outside of the box. So back to your question, I think for Arizona to improve the way our schools serve students, we first need to discard the idea that testing is the best way to measure a student's ability or their potential. It's hard to measure creativity. It's hard to measure the capacity to innovate and think outside the box. But those are exactly the things we need our kids to be able to do, and we owe it to them to devise new assessments that allow us to measure those things.
Certainly helpful information on this topic today. We are joined by Mark Bistricki, the head of Tesseract School in Scottsdale, Arizona, once again here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. And also follow the show on Twitter simply at ePodcast Network. Mark, if you are against so much testing, what do you believe is the next step in making sure Arizona turns their education system around and that the kids excel at the same time?
Certainly. You know, there's a well-known cartoon in education, and it has a lineup of different animals in front of a teacher's desk, and in the background there's a tree. And so it's a monkey, an elephant, a seal, and a goldfish. And there's a tree in the background, and the teacher announces to these animals that, well, for a fair selection on your final exam, all of you need to go and climb that tree. So obviously some of these animals are better suited to this task than others. And the point is that if climbing the tree, in other words, standardized testing, is the only way that these animals are measured, it's discounting the talents that these animals bring. So obviously the monkey is going to thrive in that kind of a final exam, but the world needs elephants and seals and goldfish too, not just monkeys. And so we need to start in education in Arizona and across the country by looking at the elephants and seals and goldfish and what they bring naturally and how we can harness those gifts and talents and personalize the education that we're delivering to them to their abilities, to their learning styles, to their temperaments. We also need to recapture the sense of discovery in education so that we can try to kindle every child's natural curiosity so they're approaching education not from a stressed out, exhausted, pressurized environment, but from an intrinsic desire to learn more and to take joy in the learning process. We also need to continue to work on cultivating real-world innovation and have forward-looking education, not education that looks back to the factory system of the 19th century, but that looks forward to the challenges of the 21st century and beyond that. A big part of that is trying to extend education beyond the walls of the classroom into real-world settings so that students can have hands-on experience applying what they've learned. One of the things that we like to say here at Tesseract is that what you know and what you learn is important, but what you do with what you learn is more important. And so I think we need to continue to find creative ways to help students to apply what they've learned, because that is where robust, authentic learning really takes place, not just regurgitating facts on standardized tests, but demonstrating that they can start with those facts, combine them in new ways to make something new and creative that didn't previously exist. That's a high standard to aspire to, but that is what our students will need to be able to do as they go on to college and go on to the working world beyond that. And I think the final step is that to ensure that they are connecting with students from various cultures across the globe. We've seen how the world is far more interconnected than it ever has been, and it will continue in that direction, certainly. So the more opportunities students have to travel, to interact with students from various cultures, to learn about cultural backgrounds, traditions, and culture, the more effective they will be in the future. So there are a lot of challenges for us, but I think that the course we need to follow is clear.
You also say that there is something called too much testing. Can you get into that a little bit?
Sure. One of the byproducts we're seeing of this high-stakes testing culture in our country is there are real health effects that our students are experiencing as a result of the pressure that they're under, the amount of homework that they're needing to complete just to keep up, and the drive to demonstrate success using a very narrow measurement of intelligence. I mean, back to the metaphor, the monkey is very well suited to climbing the tree, but that doesn't mean that the elephant or seal or goldfish doesn't have potential and should be written off. And so what we're finding is that students that aren't naturally successful on standardized tests and those kinds of things are experiencing anxiety at epidemic rates, are experiencing a wide range of health effects, gastrointestinal issues, relational issues, and another byproduct is the fact that in some instances, in many instances, they're actually losing out on experiences that are formative to their childhood. And I think that's such a shame that because students may have 3, 4, 5 hours of homework a night, they're not able to participate in family game night, or they're not able to be on a sports team or hang out with their friends. These kinds of things are really critical to helping students develop into whole people. And what's tragic about that is the research is clear that there's no direct link between the quantity of homework and student learning. Again, I think we're mired in tradition that says that more homework equals a rigorous education. There is substantial research that demonstrates that that's not the case, that rigor is best and accurately defined as the degree of cognitive engagement that students are experiencing in the classroom and outside of the classroom. And that doesn't mean just the volume of homework. It means to what degree are students having to synthesize information? To what degree are they applying information from one domain or subject area to the next? How are they analyzing causes and effects and drawing conclusions? All those higher level thinking skills, that's what truly equates to rigor, not the ability to complete multiple choice homework questions or worksheets. I think we really are placing an unfair burden on our students by requiring that they spend their time doing these tasks that aren't actually helping them learn any more effectively. So I think the answer is that we need to expand the ways that we assess learning in our country beyond just multiple choice exams into models such as portfolios, learning portfolios, into project-based learning, where they can actually apply information and knowledge into a final product and still demonstrate that they've satisfied all the standards and the learning objectives. This is the direction that we need to go, and certainly there are challenges in helping all students to be assessed in that way, but we owe it to them to do the hard work to get there, because it's clear that the way that we're doing things in education in America today are not serving them well, are not preparing them for the future that we all want them to have.
Lastly, if Common Core is not the solution, what is the solution?
Again, I think the solution is starting with the student, trying not to force them into a mold or an assembly line process of education, but trying to cultivate their individual interest in the learning process, starting with the things that they're naturally interested in, trying to harness them, harness their learning, build the learning around those natural interests to the degree that we can, ensuring that we are appealing to different learning styles so that all students can learn and can develop the kind of critical thinking capacities, creative imagination, the ability to synthesize learning, the ability to take what you've learned and apply it to building or making something, the ability to communicate across cultures. All of these things are the proper focuses of education. I think we've gotten caught up far too much in what the standards are and how to measure a very narrow conception of what learning is.
Mark, is there a current waiting list to get into Tesseract, or where can parents go to get more information on the school?
Our website is always the best place to start. That's tesseractschool.org, T-E-S-S-E-R-A-C-T, school.org, all one word. We have an open house coming up this Wednesday, November 18th. For those of you that are in the Phoenix area, that's from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And our website is also a great source of information to find out about the Tesseract Way and how we are trying to be innovative in the way that we prepare our students for their future. And we really think that we owe it to them to do that.
Most certainly, and you certainly do give us food for thought on education. Mr. Bistricky, thanks so much for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio. All the best.
My pleasure, Eric. Thank you for having me.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mark Bistricky, the head of Tesseract School in Scottsdale, Arizona, with over a decade of experience as an independent school leader committed to exploring innovative new models in education. And once again, the website of reference is tesseractschool.org. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.